sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins with the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And we are with the man this morning. So, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. And I want you to be a part of our conversation. We're going to talk about credit scores and lending and some very recent changes that have come up. And so give us a call here. We are in the area code of 405, and it's 840-1000. 840-1000. Give us a call. Do you have a question about credit score? Is it flexible at all? So, Dean, tell me, first of all, I'll give you a few little kudos here. People go, okay, well, aren't the mortgage companies all alike? Well, a real estate broker would know if they're all alike, right? And here's my credit to you is I went to SWBC when I bought my house 19 years ago to get the mortgage on it. And I refinanced also with SWBC Mortgage. The refinance, I'm trying to remember, my interest rate wasn't that much difference, it seems like. Maybe it was 4% and I went to 3.25% or something like that. And right. That's been maybe 11 years ago that we even refinanced. I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was easy and I had total confidence that it would be handled properly and timely. That's a big deal in our market, timely. And I didn't lock in on my interest rate until the last 15 days. Because usually a 15-day lock gives you a little bit better rate than right. a 30- or 60-day lock. Right. So let's talk, first of all, what is a lock?
You know, thank you for your comments. I mean, we do things differently. There's really no doubt in my mind, Becky. With refinances, home purchase, developing that relationship, that rapport, Matt and I both are heavy face-to-face clients, or we're meeting with clients to make sure we're addressing their financial needs, not just about the house, but about their budget. So we invest in, you know, I met a couple last night, and this is a short snippet of what this industry is about, is they found me online. They had shopped with two or three other online lenders. Mm. They're building a new house, closing end of October. And I said, come in and talk and let's sit down. They're doing your 5% down and just kind of a cookie cutter. I mean, it's going to be good. So I brought them to the office last night and we said, let's talk. What are your thoughts? What are your plans? But Dean, this is our forever home. We're not going anywhere. Keep in mind, this is the first time I've met them. And we got in and talked about points, paying points. We got talking about upfront PMI. We talked about the upgrades they paid out of pocket versus doing an addendum, move sales price up a little bit with use the available money that they've already invested. And it was the greatest experience. And he said that the two or three other online lenders, it was a fill-in-the-blank order-taker environment. They didn't care about me. It was about, he said, we didn't know what options were out there until you're showing us what you're doing.
And that's kind of the thing is that it reminds me of like when we built a swimming pool. We had someone build a swimming pool. And I didn't know what my options were.
Right.
And I wished I had done, I mean, like, the guy leaves my house and gives me a handwritten half sheet of instructions as to how to turn on the hot tub. And I said, well, then how do I turn it off? Just do it in reverse. And I'm going, I want to push a button. I want to set a temperature. I want I don't want to have to, like, go out to the pump and do things.
Right.
Well, that was not an option that he even told me was available, but luckily I've sold a few houses with pools and I knew it was available. But you don't know what options are available and whether or not it fits your particular scenario.
Right.
Okay.
And so all we try to do is address their total financial needs. So now back into your question is what's a lock? So interest rate locks typical or good for 30 days. So a lock is you're securing the rate for a specified period of time. A 45-day lock is another option that economically is there. I mean, it may cost an eighth of a percent of the amount you're financing to do a 45-day lock. Why would someone do a 45-day lock? If you're in a volatile market, which we in the last week, it has been volatile. It's kind of corrected itself. But if someone is not a gambler, if someone wants to play it safe, and they hit within that 45-day window of closing, then they may want to secure and firm up and lock their interest rate. And again, it gets back to transparency and communicating and educating clients what a 60-day. We could do a 90-day lock right now. It's expensive. I wouldn't do it.
Right.
And those are things we communicate. So then that next barometer is get to that 60-day window. Where are we? What's the market doing? What do we foresee happening? We may not do anything then, but the consumer understands what the challenges are or what the risks are of floating your rate, which means I'm not locking it, Dean. Let's see what the market does. And as I told the gentleman last night, I said, you know what? I'm conservative. So if the rates historically fall next week to 2.75, please don't ask me, is it going to fall to 2.5? Maybe I'll sit tight. Don't gamble. Because rates are more to go up than they are down.
Right.
So if it hits a number, because it's a number that will make a difference, plus or minus a little bit, but if it hits a sweet spot that you're ready, put it to bed and don't look back.
I've not seen any recent studies on this, but several years ago, PNC Mortgage did a study on people who rated, who locked at their loan application and those that floated and locked later. Because you have to lock in about 3 days before closing,
right?
Because nowadays you've got to do a closing disclosure,
right,
3 days before closing.
Right.
So you usually lock in about the fourth day before closing if you float. But they did a study on this, thousands of mortgages. And it was something like 74% of the people that did not lock paid a higher rate of interest to close. So
it's, Becky, it's a gamble. I mean,
yeah,
it truly is. And I will say 99% of my loans are locked within the first week of me receiving that contract.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I'm educating, I'm talking, they know where I come from, conservative piece.
Right.
Don't gamble. And so there is that trust and that you have to have with your clients.
Right.
Just leave that in my lap. I will keep you, as I told him last night, if rates historically fall and I can't get a hold of you, I'm probably locking your rate and we'll connect. He said, it's all in your hands, Dean. You got it. And that's what you...
And if he doesn't want to take that, if he doesn't want to...
Yeah.
Unless then you're willing to wait and let him make the decision.
But last night's conversation firmed that up where,
right,
I said, I'm conservative. Are you a gambler? Oh, no, Dean. I don't, it's in your hands. I don't do this. I trust you. That's what you long for, Becky. When you sell a house and you take care of people, you want them believing in you.
Sure.
That's what you built your business on.
Of course. I mean, and that's often what I tell folks is there's one thing in our listing agreement now to where the buyer takes a choice as to do or do not,
right,
and they give me authority or do not give me authority to do something. And I said to tell another agent whether or not there's multiple offers.
Right.
If someone calls and says, do you have any other offers on this? Well, I've got to follow the rule that's in the listing agreement, and it says the broker does or does not have right. the authority. So I like to put does, and then we write in an initial, a little thing, at broker's discretion.
Right.
Because sometimes it's good to do that and sometimes not. And the thing is, I think I would have a better chance of knowing
right.
than the seller would have. Right. But they get to choose, right?
Yep.
But and luckily, most of them do trust me on that. We've got a lot more to talk about. And do you know what the most expensive cities to live in are in Oklahoma? What are the cheapest ones? We'll cover that when we come back, right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins with the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And I wanted to remind you guys of a couple things. One thing is that there is a second half expo going on at the Cowboy Hall of Fame. I know it's named something else, the Western Heritage Museum, Cowboy, whatever. We all call it the Cowboy Hall of Fame, right? Okay, it is going to be on Saturday the 16th. I'm going to have a breakout session there on simple steps to senior downsizing. So very simple steps that you can kind of help you along the way. And it's just going to be a chat. I really did not get notification whether this is going to be on the main stage, but I hope it's a little breakout session where we can just sit around and have a conversation and I can answer your questions directly. It is free, by the way. And it is, I believe, 2 weeks from today. So, not next week, but the week after, October 16th, on Saturday at the Cowboy Hall of Fame from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And there's about 100 vendors there that can answer your questions, and go support our local vendors.
You bet.
If you're looking for something that is supplied by to someone 50 years and up, that's why it's called second half, then go by and see them. The other thing is, if you need help with a real estate transaction, I want you to give us a call. We are at 722-3232. Yes, you have to dial the 405, but it's 722-3232. Give me a call sometime. I'm here with Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage, and we're talking about kind of the simple way to and choose who you do business with to begin with, but credit scores. I did promise to tell you the 10 cheapest places to live in Oklahoma, right? What are the cities that are the 10 cheapest? Well, according to this article that I just read, it is Anadarko, Holdenville, Cushing, Noble. Now, Noble's in the metro area. Alva, Blackwell, Ponca City, Seminole, Chickasha. Chickasha is considered in the metro area now. And Woodward. So,
I would think Ponca City surprises me a little bit.
It does, doesn't it?
Just because
Ponca City's always kind of been oil and
money town.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's affordable.
Yeah. That's good.
It's affordable right now. And in a few minutes, we'll talk about maybe the most expensive places to live in Oklahoma. But first, let's kind of go back to our conversation about mortgages. And there's some new stuff on credit scoring, right?
Right.
Okay, tell us about that.
So I'm going to paint the picture a little bit, the parameters that are laid out between FHA loans, conventional loans, and how credit scoring is a piece to that equation. So FHA will go down to a 580 credit score, and that's a middle score. R at SWBC floor, we call it, is a 600. What that tells anyone is if your score's in that 580 to, honestly, probably 620, it's heavily scrutinized. And this is for an individual. We've gone to a lending environment that you could have $500,000 in a 401k. That's great. If you've got a 580 score, you're put in a different risk bucket. So your loan is scrutinized, underwritten, far more heavy than any other loan. Fannie Mae forever has had a 620 bottom score or middle score as their floor. So if I had, Becky, you sent me someone who had a, put 50% down, and they had a 600 credit score. You couldn't go conventional financing because Fannie's floor was 620.
Well, before we go discuss anymore, let's discuss what does floor mean. Floor means that's the very bottom score that you can have to where you can underwrite a loan
right.
through Fannie Mae. And Fannie Mae is?
Federal National Mortgage Association. It's a what we call a GSE, which is where lenders, that's where pricing is driven from, is from basically we're all obtaining pricing from Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, and that's where those loans will be delivered, sold. That security instrument will be owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. And that's a great question all by yourself, by itself. If we're servicing a loan, collecting payments or not collecting payments, paying taxes, paying insurance, and we foreclose that loan, SWBC does not own that collateral. Why? It's owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. We're the servicing vehicle, servicing agent, receive a servicing fee from Fannie Freddie to service that loan. We'll foreclose on their behalf. And I'll promise you, 80%, 90% of the consumers think that SWBC or Wells Fargo owns that loan. They foreclose that property. Well, in REACT, that's what creates that Fannie Mae REO or that Freddie Mac REO or that FHA HUD REO. If we're servicing an FHA loan.
And we're talking REO.
Real estate,
let's define REO.
Real estate owned property.
Real estate owned property by a lender or a bank or someone other than the one who purchased it.
Correct.
Foreclosed property.
So a foreclosed property becomes a real estate owned property owned by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, HUD, VA. So 5 years ago, we closed an FHA loan. We're the servicing agent. It's insured by FHA. Here we are currently. They're in default. They don't make payments. We foreclose that property. We don't, being SWBC, we don't own that security. It's an FHA-insured loan. We're foreclosing that property on behalf of FHA. That's what becomes an FHA REO property. Because I get the phone calls that say, you all foreclosed a property, da 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 da. Who can I talk to? Well, was it an FHA loan? Because it's a HUD REO. Was it a conventional loan that we closed X years ago? It may be a Fannie Mae REO. It is not a lender-owned, in most cases, unless it's a private bank, those will be owned by Fannie, Freddie, HUD REO, VA REO property.
Right. So there, but the credit scores that we're talking about.
Okay, so now we're back to credit scores. So I've got a Fannie Mae came up with a change three Fridays ago that was really a good change in the industry, and I'm going to test yours and Mark's math skills. So it basically said, keep in mind what I just said, is if that score, middle score, was less than 620, we could not deliver that loan to Fannie Mae.
Right.
Up until 3 weeks ago. Now it says if you have one individual on the loan, less than 620, we still can't deliver that loan to Fannie Mae. However, if I've got Jim and Becky on a loan, and Becky's got a 600 credit score, Jim has a 700 credit score, and I need both of you on the loan. Fannie Mae says, conventional loan. We can average those scores.
Really?
Okay. So 650 becomes our delivery score to Fannie Mae. I can use Becky on that loan today that I couldn't 3 weeks ago.
That is a major change in the lending market.
It's great. Now, depending upon what you're putting down, your mortgage insurance, your private mortgage insurance, is driven off that 650.
Okay.
So it won't be pretty. But you're enabled to give someone an opportunity to stay in that conventional loan where they're putting 20% down, 30% down, that you couldn't use that co-borrower 3 weeks ago. You can today.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I told you I was going to tell you the best cities to live in Oklahoma, the most expensive. Well, we can do that right after the break. We're going to come back and talk about the cheapest places to live in Oklahoma, the best places to raise a family. I don't know about that. That could be any city. It's the family that kind of matters there. And then maybe the cheapest and the most expensive places to live. Right after this, Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
Welcome back to Real Estate, Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr. I am in the chair to the right of Becky Ivins, finally, and here with Dean Riddell, our money man. But it's time for our... Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700, that's 405-728-3700, or head over to BeckyIvins.com and click on Becky's Favorites. You'll see Robbins Roofing right there. So, Becky, what is our word of the day?
Our word of the day is lock. You would think that in real estate, that might be the lock on a door, but this is an interest rate lock. And that is when the borrower and the lender agree to allow the lender to lock the rate in at a specific time, rather than just floating and let the market determine what interest rate you pay on your final mortgage. So you can lock in at the time to a specific interest rate at the time you make loan application, or any time during the loan process up until about the fourth day before closing. You've got to lock it in at some point so that they can do your disclosures on your loan. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, well, lock is our word of the day.
Brought to you by Robbins Roofing. Now, Becky, when it locks, it can also unlock. And I'm dealing with that right now.
Unlock?
Because at Wellston, like, it locks in for a certain time period.
Oh, I see. You let your lock expire?
It's not expired. We have an appraisal that is taking way longer than what we would like for it to, that the contract calls for. And, again, it matters who the lender. This is not an SWBC loan, not a local lender. And if they don't get the appraisal back in time, it's gonna go past what the rate lock is.
Okay, so great subject, Mark. So you don't want, and this holds true. So when I say stuff like this, this applies local lenders, probably online too. When that lock expires, because the question will come up. So maybe I should let the lock expire because rates are an eighth or quarter less today.
Mm-hmm.
No. So that rate lock expires, you have a 30-day window before you can relock your rate at new pricing. So if that rate lock expires, you're subject to worst-case pricing from your lock that you the rate you had locked versus market. So if the market is better today than when they locked, they're going to get that higher rate still, not the new lower rate, unless 30 days has passed from it expiring.
Wow.
Yours is unique because it's not the borrower's fault. This is a lender's nightmare because it's not your buyer's fault. It's not the seller's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But who's going to bear the expense of that extension?
Right. It was going to be the buyer.
Probably so, based on the lender they used.
Yep.
Who's in control of that appraiser?
Yeah.
Kinda. You know, unless it's a VA appraiser.
Yeah.
But it's still, if it's an FHA conventional loan.
It's a conventional loan.
Then the lender or the Boy, that's a tough call.
Yeah, yeah. We're working through all the parts of it, and here's where, you know, just finding that local, working with local lender like SWBC really matters. So, Becky, you were going to talk about the best places to live. You've teased this since the beginning.
Well, we have already told you, but I will do a quick review. Have I done the most expensive or the cheapest? I think I did the cheapest
ones. You did the cheapest.
Now, and I'm gonna run down that again real quick because it's Anadarko, which is where I worked my first year out of college, and I would concur with this. It is a very affordable place to live. It's a lot different than living even in Chickasha, which is another affordable place to live, by the way. It's on the list, which is where I worked my second year out of college. So the most affordable places are Anadarko, Holdenville, Cushing, Noble, Alva, Blackwell, Ponca City, Seminole, Chickasha, and Woodward. And then the most expensive places to live, you guys want to take a guess?
With my wife?
Oh, well. Well, yes, with your wife. All of them would be expensive with your wife, right?
Yeah. Love you, Marissa, if you're listening.
Okay. The most, well, we'll keep talking because I'm trying to find my list, okay?
So.
The interest rate change. I want you to review that real quick.
And so I want to give you a live scenario that I got going on right now that happened literally the weekend that Fannie Mae made that announcement. So I had a loan that was $400,000. They wanted to put down $100,000. But I had credit scores of 586. I had three people on the loan. So I had husband and wife, mom. So I had a 586, a 602, and an 800.
Whoa!
So before the announcement, my only option was an FHA loan.
Right.
Without the 586, because we don't go to down to 580. Our floor is 600. So at that stage, I was doing an FHA loan, $100,000 down, on a $400,000 house, because conventional lending wasn't an option. That Friday announcement came up. I called my clients on a Saturday. I was in Destin, as you will recall.
Yes.
And said, there's a change. We don't know the ramifications until Monday. Let's see, you're going to be that test case. So I put in the 586, the 602, 800. The average is like 667. So we can deliver that loan to Fannie Mae. So we're doing an addendum now, changing that from an FHA loan to a conventional, which is where they should be. Putting $100,000 down, they should be in a conventional loan.
Surely, yes. Okay?
But interest rate pricing is driven off of that 667, not the 800, not the 603, not the 586.
So that's a huge change.
It's a good change. It is.
It is a good change. Okay, most expensive places to live in Oklahoma. No, you guys don't want to venture a guess? One of these is really...
Nichols Hills.
Edmond.
Okay. Stillwater.
Stillwater?
Mm-hmm. Stillwater. Durant.
Yeah, I could see that.
Durant.
Tahlequah. Thank you, Blake Shelton. Tahlequah. Guthrie. Who knew Guthrie would be an expensive place to live?
Or if that's
Grove,
the gas.
Oklahoma, Tulsa, Claremore, Wagoner, The Village, and Salisaw. Salisaw.
Interesting.
Over in Salisaw, over by like Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that's kind of, that's...
There's some surprising names on that list.
Yeah, I know. But guess what's not on that list?
Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. Huh. So we can sell property in any one of these cities. We probably would want to sell you an expensive house if we drove that far. Because, well, the village property is pretty high in the village. But people love the village. It's such a nice location.
Yes.
You know, location, location, location. So, okay, we've got more to talk about. Give us a call, 405-722-3232, and SWBC Mortgage. Just go to...
Go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and you'll see SWBC there. And if you want to join the conversation with us this morning, you have a question for Dean on your credit score or a lending issue, you can give us a call and join the conversation at 840-1000, 405-840-1000. When we come back, we'll be talking about that on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.
Okay. The thing we're talking about is credit scores. And, Dean, you mentioned middle credit score. Mm-hmm. So there are three credit reporting agencies that are the major ones that are used in a credit score collection, and those would be TransUnion, Equifax, and
Experian.
So when you do, which one of those do you get your information from for a mortgage?
Well, we're going to get scores provided they have enough credit. We're going to get three scores, and in lending, you take that middle score of the three. So you will have deviation between those three scores, as basically because not every creditor reports to all three bureaus. So you may have a Visa that reports to Experian. You've got a Discover that reports to Experian and Equifax. So you're going to have this deviation within score. My big comment to all of us, regardless if you're buying a home or not, is credit scoring is real. So it makes your homeowner's insurance higher based on your credit score. It makes your car insurance higher based on that credit score. So little key things that credit bureaus will say is we all need one or two installment debts, car, student loan, house. We all need two or three revolving debts, credit cards, that we use on occasion. So when you think credit cards, it's just not using the credit card. It's staying within less than 30% of that available limit. So I tell people every day, they go, I have a $1,000 limit. My balance is $900. You're hurting your credit score by doing that because you're 90% maxed out.
And now the thing is, just so you guys know, I use almost my whole limit every single month, but I pay it off each month, but it still is the whole that counts.
Right.
But if you have otherwise a very high score, my score is still over 800 because I have paid everything on time for many, many, many years. And so it's not going to ruin you, but keep your credit card balances low.
Less than 30%.
Right.
So, I mean, I have a older couple that I'm financing right now who he's got a credit score, barely. She didn't have one, and they're struggling with this. Dean, we owned a house in 1997. Dean, we paid off a car in 2004. Not much sense, guys. So, yes, they had rock-solid credit one day. It's going away.
Right.
Because they have no new debt. So you have to play that game to drive that credit score.
Right. And it matters.
It does.
If you're going to borrow anything. Right? Dean, what's your license number?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. NMLS number 196895.
We're required to put
yes,
that on there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to give you the address for our smoking hot deal one more time. It is 7201 Southwest 89th Street. That's an Oklahoma City address.
Well,
and if you want to take a look at it virtually, just go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings. You can take a virtual walkthrough before you call us and take an actual walkthrough.
Yeah, boy, I'd like to go show that one because it's just such a pleasant place. Yeah, I love it. So
that was probably peace and quiet in 1978.
Well, it's peace and quiet
but
now.
I'm saying, I mean, look at the change.
Oh, yeah.
In 78, they were out in the country.
Yeah, and the homes that are built around it, beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
Beautiful additions
around
it.
Great, big, nice homes being built around there. Mm-hmm. So it really will be an oddity in a few years when it's the only one that's about 1,000 feet amongst the 4,000 feet homes, right?
Exactly. Exactly right. So if you want to get a hold of Dean Riddell, you can go to BeckyIvins.com and click on Becky's Favorites, and he'll be right there. Or just give him a call at
858-7770. Area code 405.
There you go. Area code
405. You got to do the 405 with it. Dean, if you give like one last piece of advice to someone who needs to, they're ready, they think they're ready, what's the advice?
Sit down with your lender. Be honest, be transparent, understand what you're doing before you ever take off and go house hunting.
Mm.
That's a mistake. I'm going to say young people, they shop online. They think they know it. They use the Zillow calculators on payment, flips their budget upside down. When I sit down with them and bring them to what's real life with mortgage insurance, a real number on homeowners insurance, it's a game changer. So sit down with your lender. Be transparent.
Yeah. And you guys go ahead and mark your calendar for October 16th for the Second Half Expo at the Cowboy Hall of Fame.
It's going to be great. Thanks for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Becky. We'll see you all next week right here on News Radio 1000 KTOK.